Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are broadcasting live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody. The Yankee Report with Sweeney Murdy is brought to you by New York Community Bank and the NYCB Family of Banks. Online at mynycb.com, by Adorama, the official electronic retailer of the New York Yankees radio network, by Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need, and by Carrier. Turn to the experts. After a much-needed off day, now begins a stretch of 20 games in 20 days. And here is Sweeney Murdy. How are you, Sween?
Good, Ev. What's going on?
I'm all right. You know, I'm excited. It was a big week. You know, we got the trade deadline today, Yankees-Red Sox over the weekend. I'm very, very excited. Give me your reaction to the Lynn trade. Let's start there as the Yankees add another starting pitcher.
Yeah, it's kind of moving pieces more than anything. I think, you know, Lynn gives you the ability that, Warren, as much as you valued his role, I think he couldn't, you know, he wasn't stretched out. So if you wanted to maybe piggyback a guy on some of these short starts, let's say, then he wasn't necessarily filling that role. But it was more the idea that you could trade him, replace him, and get international money. And that's huge. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people made fun of it when the Mets got international money in the Familia deal. But, I mean, look around. Everybody's trading for it. And Brian Cashman's been doing it 2 years in a row. So I think it was kind of moving pieces around to help out a number of different areas. And, you know, you just hope that Lynn's record against the Red Sox means something, that he's pitched well against them, and you're just adding some arms. I find the multi-inning aspect of it kind of intriguing, because Chad Green's role has changed from last year. He's not throwing as many multi-inning stints, and frankly, he hasn't been as good.
No.
So I feel like this is kind of supplementing that. When you think of the Yankees' bullpen as a strength, we count Chad Green as one of those strengths, but he hasn't been the same as he was last year.
Well, and also a couple of things. They have a stretch, and this is in late August, where they have that doubleheader against the Orioles, and then they don't have an off day after that for a couple of weeks. So they're obviously going to need a sixth starter, no doubt, because they're not going to pitch a guy.
I think they could drop one in this next 20 days that you're talking about here, too.
And that was the other thing. I was going to bring up both of them, that you can drop them in the next 20 days, you can do it after that doubleheader, and also, and you tell me if they'd ever consider this more in September, because of the fact that Severino has struggled a little bit, CeCe's in his late 30s, Tanaka could always use rest. This is the kind of team, in my opinion at least, that it sort of makes sense if they want to go with a six-man rotation for a couple of weeks, because I think everybody can benefit from that extra day.
Yeah, I don't even know if they do it for like a couple of turns through. I think what you're trying to do is maybe drop a guy in and stretch guys out and give them one extra day somewhere. I think the race will have a lot to do with that. The Yankees and Red Sox will play this weekend, and not again till late September. They play six times the final 13 games. But I think if all things are equal, if you don't have to replace necessarily Tanaka or Sabathia for a start, and whatever you think Severino is going through, if you want to kind of drop them in a little bit, I think that's something you can also do as well.
Talking to Sweeney about the Yankees, they make a couple of deals. They did move, you know, you mentioned the international money, which does have a lot of value, and the Yankees have been aggressive with that. They did move Tyler Austin. Was this them just saying, you know what, he doesn't really have a long-term future on this Major League roster?
I think they, you know, remember the deal they made the other night with the Cardinals? They got back a right-handed hitting first baseman. I think they value Voit on par or better than Austin, and you're just, you know, maneuvering again some roster space and using a piece like Austin to get back a pitcher that you need. So I think that they, you know, they had room perhaps to call him up over the course of the last few weeks, but other guys just fit better with the roles that you're talking about. And Austin, aside from a little power, didn't knock down the door at AAA to be able to make that move. So I think that he became expendable, I guess is probably the best way to put it. And you saw how they shuffled the pieces around.
And by the way, I'm not going to make this comment saying I have confidence in Luis Sessa by any stretch, nor should any Yankee fan. With that said, though, I have to admit, Sessa's last two starts that he made here throughout July, the spot starts that he made, were pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
He threw six scoreless against the Orioles. He pitched well against Tampa Bay into the sixth inning. The problem is they didn't score any runs. But it feels as if now getting a spot start almost seems unrealistic, barring the injuries, because of the depth they just added.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put his contributions away. I think that's still possible here. As you're, you just don't know what you're dealing with some of these guys sometimes, and stretching guys out. I did poo-poo the idea of, a couple of turns through on a six-man, but, listen, you get into a long game or you get into a game where a shorter starter gets knocked out and somebody else, like Lynn, comes in and picks up four innings, all of a sudden you're moving some pieces around again. These are the depth pieces that you're going to be looking for.
What are they saying in the organization about Justice Sheffield? I know they like him. He's a top prospect and all that, but he has pitched well in Scranton. I know we touched on this a week or so ago about, hey, you never know, you can make him a bullpen arm temporarily. He has been good against lefties. But with this added depth, like we talked about with Sessa, is that at all a sign that maybe they don't trust Justice Sheffield to come up here and make a start or even help out of the bullpen?
Yeah, it's I think everyone is still very high on him. We did talk about him and the season that he's had. His name still keeps coming up, and the Yankees are not moving him at this point. Any of the blockbuster type of names that you want to acquire, Sheffield's name is coming back in all of them. So far, the Yankees aren't budging. What seems to be holding him back, his numbers are outstanding. His statistical lines are outstanding. But I've talked to people who've watched some of these games, and they say his fastball command is still lacking and needs to improve. It has improved from the beginning of the year at AAA. But that's one area that, to get out big league hitters, he really needs to be more on top of. He had some issues earlier in the season walking guys. We saw what happened to Domingo Germán when he was incredibly effective. And then when he wasn't, started walking guys. That's what got him into trouble and would eventually make him more hittable as he tried to get back into counts. Sheffield's fastball command has been good enough to get out AAA guys, from what I'm told. It still needs to get a little bit better for the big league level because he's not on the fringes as much. Remember, he's not throwing 97 to 98. He's throwing in the lower to mid-90s. Anytime you've seen him bump up in velocity, as he has for maybe a couple of these recent starts when he knows there's dozens of scouts in the stands or at the Futures game, it seems to be a little bit more on adrenaline, and his command suffers that way too. Mm. To be more effective, he's usually in the lower to mid-90s, and he needs to be on the edges a little bit more than the pitches over the plate that the people that I've talked to seem to think big league hitters will handle better than
AAA hitters. Interesting. We're talking to Sweeney. Is there any, and I think if he struggles against the Red Sox, it'll grow louder and louder, but is there any internal concern about Luis Severino and the way he's pitched recently?
I think your antenna's up a little bit because you want to know what's wrong and see if it can be fixed or see if he can just, stop making some mistakes here and be dominant again. We've seen it with certain hitters and certain stretches, but the numbers overall have been bad. I think concern is strong, but I think they're building themselves right now knowing that, okay, this is when you have to make all your moves and get your pieces in order. So if it turns out that you need to set him down for any reason for 10 days or whatever, then you've got to, you've got to fortify that a little bit. I don't think, it's funny that he had the two best starts probably he's had back to back were the Phillies and the Red Sox games, late June, July 1st. And then since then, he's had nothing but bad starts. And he's gotten hit pretty hard. That's probably the more alarming thing. It's not like he's getting himself into trouble a little bit and then giving up one 3-run homer. He's gotten hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
So I think that, I think they're paying attention, but I don't know if I'm moving the needle all the way to concern yet.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. I know I made this comment to you at the Fan Fest, and now I take it back, obviously, because I'm a fair man. I'm not concerned about Aroldis Chapman anymore. That's out the window. All right.
There you go.
That was just, well, the only reason I was is because guys have bad performances. It happens. It's natural. When it's that awful with control, you start to get worried. But he cleaned it up. He had two performances in a row. The first one was okay, but he got through it. And the second one, he struck out the side. So it looks like he's back on track completely, Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah, they've got a great lineup to throw at you late in games. You know, they can really throw some arms up there. Listen, nobody's saying a word about Dellin Betances anymore. I mean,
he's the most reliable arm they have. Not even kidding. He's the most reliable reliever.
He's terrific. And even now, look, when guys get on base, you know, nobody's panicking anymore. He's not panicking anymore. He gives up a single or a walk or hits a guy or whatever, and okay, the guy wants to take second base, fine. There's the whole world's not blowing up on him anymore. He has been outstanding. You know, when he said he was close, he was right. And I don't know how many of us believed him. He was absolutely right.
No, he was, man. And he's been great. I mean, it's amazing for the Yankee bullpen, which is, you know, I think most agree the best bullpen in baseball, despite some of its struggles recently with Chad Green and David Robertson. Their most reliable guy, as we sit here today, is Dellin Betances, and that's crazy if you would have said that in April and certainly last September or October, but he is.
Yeah.
He's been that
good. Yeah, and Robertson's had good streaks. When he falls out of those streaks, the ball goes out of the ballpark. So that's part of the problem that you're dealing with him, but I think overall, once he gets rolling, you roll off about 7 or 8 or 10 good in a row. We know they're built strong in the bullpen. It's just trying to get through some of those innings. They've had too many starts lately where, the other day, Severino and Sabathia combined went 9 innings.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what you're looking for, especially from those two guys. And, you know, I think you're right. The Severino's next start is a big one because you want to see, you want to see him get back to doing a little bit more of what you were used to. And that'll put your mind at ease going into the last couple of months. Yeah, I would think they'd take the opportunity to, again, I expressed some doubt over when they set the rotation after the break, and the reason they gave was giving extra rest to Severino and Sabathia. Listen, I said, come on, you know you want those guys lined up for Boston. You don't want Sonny Gray in the Boston series, and that's how you lined it up. I'm, you know, watching Severino now the last few. Maybe they were onto something about the innings piling up so far, and they need to get him an extra day here or there if they can. And if Lance Lynn helps in that regard, then it works for Severino, then right. I think they've made a good move.
You think they'll add a bat in the next 3 hours, or you think they're done?
I think, you know, they might add an outfielder. I don't know if I'd necessarily categorize him as a bat. I mean, you're hearing Cameron Maben. I don't know if I'd categorize him as a bat. You know, I think if you want to say, okay, you need a little bit more reliable outfielder out there than Shane Robinson, and you want to put somebody with a little more major league experience out there, yeah, I mean, listen, Bryce Harper's not happening. It was a long shot before. Mike Rizzo sent a text to the Washington Post an hour or two ago saying that Bryce Harper isn't going anywhere. Even if it was being entertained, it would take a lot to get him, and I don't think the Yankees' plan right now could get blown up by shipping off a bunch of top prospects for 2 months of Harper.
Yeah.
As intriguing as that might have sounded, when you're pretty confident that Aaron Judge is coming back now in 2.5 weeks maybe?
Yeah. I think of two things with Cameron Maben, by the way. Number one, he was traded for Miguel, so that's a big deal.
Yes.
And number two, and I'm sure you remember this, when he came up as a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old, however old he was, his first major league home run was at Yankee Stadium. I remember that.
I don't remember that, no. That would have been what? Oh, with the 06 Marlins, probably?
No, it was when he was still with the Tigers because they called him up initially.
Okay.
And it was the old Yankee Stadium. And I don't remember. I'm confident his first home run was against the Yankees. I'll double check it with Baseball Reference. And I think it may have gone into the black. Like, I think it was a bomb of a major league home run. But I got to double check that. But I think you classify him very well. He's not really a bat. He's a baseball player with a glove who can play the outfield. That's basically
he's always, you know, the last several years he's been, you know, I think considered more of a platoon guy anyway. And if you want to get a little more right-handed, then that's, you can do a lot worse than that. I mean, you're talking about, he's a professional baseball player, you know, so I think that's what you're kind of looking at. I don't think you're looking to say, oh, Judge is down, we need somebody to replace Judge.
Right.
That's what Stanton is there for.
No, and you can't replace Judge. I mean, it's just correct. Honestly, you just can't unless something crazy
correct.
Happens. And you're right. Guys just need to step up. Guy like Neil Walker stepping up. Guy like Aaron Hicks, they're both stepping up. They're hitting lately, and that's important.
Hicks, Bird, Walker, they've all had
Bird too, yeah.
some pretty good games lately. And you know, the Hicks especially is a big key for me because, you know, for the first time in what you consider Yankees championship caliber teams in a really long time, they're not stacked with switch hitters. You know, Walker's a switch hitter. I don't think you consider him as a guy who wrecks bullpens the way guys like Teixeira and Swisher and Bernie Williams and Posada, you know, guys like that used to wreck bullpens. Aaron Hicks is capable of doing that. He's been better from the right-handed side in that regard. Slugs at a much higher clip than he does from the left side. But he's important because, you know, the Yankees aren't as interchangeable, aren't as hard to match up against as they used to be because of all the switch hitters they used to stack to their lineup.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Sweeney, enjoy. You got two games coming up with the Orioles, the big series against the Red Sox. Always good talking to you. Appreciate it.
See you, Evan.
Thank you, man. Sweeney Murdy on the Yankees tonight against the Orioles. Tomorrow afternoon game, even though I was looking at the weather forecast recently. It's supposed to rain. Starting tomorrow, it's basically supposed to rain from now until forever. That's what I read. But today's a nice day, so enjoy it at least.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.